The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. I want to welcome everybody back for hour two. Appreciate Dave Bartu being with us on, it's a Tuesday in bottom of hour one. He's going to stay the entire final couple segments there. That's every Tuesday. CFB Matrix, that is Dave's thing. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Peter Burns, good friend of ours from the SEC Network. We're going to talk SEC. I believe it's appropriate. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm Pain Relief Cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
We got good news, folks. At least if you're not an Arkansas fan. Headline, Arkansas wide receiver Mike Woods has entered the transfer portal. This is new as of earlier today, and the reason I say good news, unless you're an Arkansas fan, Mike Woods was second on the team in receiving last year behind Treylon Burks. He is going to be a senior, I believe, and he's a big kid. He's north of 6 feet, about 200 pounds or so, and he had a good season. And I was just talking earlier about how we played a cut from Sam Pittman, and I was saying, man, Felipe was good last year. And I think the team can be better this year. Losing Mike Woods, well, how did that figure into it? Well, they got other receivers who didn't step up to the numbers and production that maybe they were expected to last year. And so the portal door, it swings both ways, folks. And so Arkansas has been getting players in, and Mike Woods has jumped in the portal. Now, same disclaimer, don't know that he's leaving, don't know, you know, what it means necessarily, but he is in the portal, and he'll be eligible. Headline, this is official now. We actually brought this up a little bit yesterday. Headline, Michigan QB Milton chooses Tennessee. Joe Milton, Michigan quarterback. I'll say hot and cold. He's a talented kid. I don't know how stable everything was around him. As in, if you're a quarterback, you know, you're supposed to make everybody better. Nah, I need some calm around me, though. And so it's been a different sort of situation, especially this past year at Michigan. But he plans to transfer to Tennessee. That's according to Chris Lowe. Good enough for me. Entered the transfer portal back in February, and a guy who has started, he's going to graduate next month, but entered the transfer portal in February, and a guy who started at a place like Michigan, you knew was going to have some offers. He's eligible to play for Tennessee this year. Josh Heupel and the Vols will have a new starting quarterback, I believe. Harrison Bailey, did he start last year? I think he got a start or two. But I believe they already have that in Hendon Hooker. In fact, I might have even been mentioning yesterday how important Hooker is to that program. And he is not, you know, he's not walking around with a belt set starter on it. But he is, if you had a game today, which you don't, or a game next week, or a game on June 1st, or I believe a game September 4th or whatever that Saturday is, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Hendon Hooker. Interesting choice from Joe Milton. Again, he's a graduate, so if he can get on the field, beat somebody out, he's immediately eligible, but I don't know if that's a likely case. It's interesting choice from the kid. He's a competitor. Headline, mentioned this earlier, Indiana and Notre Dame book home-and-home football series. Football series. Not basketball. Football series. It's for 2030 and 2031. Can't promise you the games will ever be played. Don't care if they're played. That's not the point. The point is, Indiana asked. It was not Notre Dame going, see if we can book the Hoosiers. We've been playing coy for 70 years, but let's see if we can finally hoodwink them onto our schedule. That's not how it happened. So Indiana's got a game with Notre Dame on campus. Wow. Love what they're doing in that program. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we'll take a break. Come back, continue with Peter Burns next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I will call him a friend of the program. Dan calls him and says, hey, you want to come on? He's like, absolutely, from the SEC Network. This guy knows a whole lot about the SEC. It is Peter Burns. Peter, how are you today, brother?
Theo, I'm just so happy that we actually got to see some football over the weekend and not these closed practices like we had last year. Like, you know, we kind of felt, I mean, everybody here at ESPN, everybody at CBS, everybody calling games, we kind of felt more in the dark last year going into the season than ever before. So, a little spring football, got some more games coming up this weekend, and hopefully media days, fingers crossed. It feels like the hype's getting back up for the best damn sport out there.
How close is Tennessee to being anything other than just another game on your SEC schedule? Because that's what they are, and it's not supposed to be. And there's supposed to be a couple of Saturdays in particular, the Bama game and then either Georgia or Florida. And there's nothing on their schedule other than, oh, they have a good opponent. There's nothing about the Vols right now, and there hadn't been for about 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Nobody can say it much better. But that's one of the reasons why I'm a little bit hyped for Josh Heupel coming in. I mean, I remember that's the same exact damn thing I was talking about Missouri offense before Heupel got there. They were, what, 13th in the SEC? Just, I mean, putrid, honestly. And Heupel comes in there as the OC, all of a sudden playing with the kind of same, you know, guys, the same Jimmy's and Joes, and they were able to turn it around. You know, all of a sudden the offense took a step. And now, you know, getting the Michigan kid, Joe Milton, a quarterback, that's going to give them a little bit more options in their quarterback room. Listen, they ain't beating Florida. They ain't beating Georgia. They're not going to be a contender. But what you are going to see is night and day difference coming up on offense. And I think that's, you know, he's got to get the right kids into his system. It's going to remind me this first year of what Leach's first year was down in Starkville, which is, hey, we're going to, this is what it's going to look like here. We just don't have the guys to do it quite yet.
I know you'll remember all of these. Like, was it like a week after media days? No, it was like a week before media days. Bobby Johnson's like, yeah, I retire. You know, Hugh Freeze was about a week after media days, and Matt Luke's like, what, really? I'm going to be the coach now? Peter, you understand the concept of a year zero for some head coaches. Like, dude, I ain't even supposed to be here. This is year zero. I think the combination of what we've all been through the past year plus, I think, like, even in Columbia, even in Knoxville, you know what reality is, but I don't think there's a lot of fan bases up for a year zero in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're just happy to get back in and like I said, spring football. I can't tell you how many assistant coaches reach out to me and be like, this we needed. Like, we needed it from a mental standpoint, but definitely did our kids ready. And I think, you know, yeah, I mean, I think even going back to the guys last year, you know, I mean, Kiffin, Leach, you think of Pittman, even Drinkwitz. I mean, these guys came in basically kind of naked to it all because they didn't get a chance to have any kind of spring ball. Fall practice was an absolute mess. and they just throw the ball out there and said, learn how to do it. So technically, you almost have over half the league. You basically got 7-8 coaches that are in their year zero coming into the season. And that's why, honestly, if it's anybody other than Georgia, I would be absolutely shocked, Chuck, absolutely shocked if it's not Georgia running away with the SEC this year.
Well, that's a good lead-in because, you know, I've talked about offensive systems, approaches, whatever, and you're right, Jimmy's and Joe's. I've heard folks, you know, whenever you, well, look at Georgia, what system they run? I'm like, you better have, like, 5 all-SEC linemen. You better have 3 SEC running. I mean, you better have all of that Sunday talent to run that way. So either elite talent or you have an advantage scheme-wise, which is rarer than any of us talk about. What's Shane Beamer got? Because he does not have a distinctive playbook that he's married to, and he actually has subpar talent.
Yeah, I mean, again, that it's almost like a year negative one right now, because even some of the talent that they had transferred out when all of a sudden, hey, there was a change, especially some on that defensive side. I mean, the thing is for Shane Beamer, it's just a matter of for him to look at this and go, how can I get back to when Spurrier had this thing ripping? And what happened was Spurrier was able to get a bunch of talent. Now, a lot of it was happenstance. He just had a bunch of talent within a 3-hour area that was springing up, whether it be Clowney or Lattimore or some of the other players like that. They're trying to embrace the same thing, and it's going to be a slower build. Like, I can see Josh Heupel at Tennessee being able to turn this around because of the offensive scheme. For Shane in Columbia, it's a slower build, and nobody wants to hear that, but that's what it is. And also, Chuck, they're having to deal with the 1,000-pound gorilla right down the road in Clemson. You know, Spurrier did it when everybody else was kind of down, and Clemson was being, you know, they were Clemsoning. They don't do that anymore. I mean, they're college football playoffs, so it's going to be a tough road to hoe for Shane.
I know Mullen and Grantham are boys, and that goes a long way, but I've also seen head coaches like Tommy Tuberville. Part of why he got fired is because he was really loyal to his assistant coaches, and, you know, God bless him. But you also can get yourself in trouble a little bit. I was going to ask you, do you think that Mullen's kind of heading there with, you know, at least no questions about Grantham, at least none publicly, I guess. But do you believe that that's actually the case? Just give me your download on Todd Grantham and his spot in Gainesville.
Oh, I mean, listen, there's questions, but I think Grantham and Mullen know each other enough well to be like, hey, listen, this is not awkward. Like, we're going to talk this out. I mean, that's the one thing that I go back into the time I spent with them in Starkville, Chuck, is that, I mean, they're boys. They'll hash it out, and sometimes it's an angry conversation, but I think it's also healthy. And I think Dan told Todd, hey, listen, this ain't going to cut it, and I love you to death, but if it's an issue next year, we're DBU, right? We're supposed to have all these great players, and we're getting burned right now. And I think the difference is Grantham's defense in 2010, 2012, stuff like that, whereas you're supposed to hold everybody to 300 yards and have a bunch of sacks. That doesn't happen in 2020. In 2021, football is about, hey, can you get a couple of touchdowns into field goals, and can you get 3 or 4 stops?
Absolutely,
and I think
true.
That's what you want from them this year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I used to do Arena League games, and I was like, during the Arena League, it was get a stop in the first half, get a stop in the second half. That's called playing defense. I was like, college football right now, even in the monstrous SEC, Peter, it's about good enough defense and situational defense. What you just said, you know, you get a first and goal on the 8 and you only give up 3. I mean, that's, you know, SEC defense of the week now.
That's a win. I mean, you need to have 5 plays, and that's what a defensive coordinator told me last week. He goes, you give me 5 good plays where I can turn 7, you know, 7 into 3, and then I can turn 3 into 0. Those I get 5 times. If I can get 5 stops, then all of a sudden, you know, we got to stop looking at yardages like we used to back in what I think the glory days of college football.
In points allowed, even.
Yeah, I mean, just don't get in the way of your offense. You know, I mean, your offense at that point, you know, and that's why Dan is so frustrated. But listen, there's a reason why Pete Golden just got a raise in Bama, right, as a defensive coordinator, because they understand how the game has changed. Saban, to his credit, that's why he's the greatest of all time to ever do it, is that he always adapts. And while people are complaining about, oh, Bama's defense is not good, blah, 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 Saban knows what he's up against. And he thinks actually that's going to be the strength of this year right now, because, I mean, the Tide, I still have a little questions with Bryce Young. I think he'll grow into that role, but I don't think he has that leadership moxie about him that I saw out of Mac or I saw out of Jalen or even Tua in the last couple seasons.
I know that on April 20th, predicting an outcome of an October college football game, I mean, you're just throwing dice down the felt, okay? But it would be surprising to me on April 20th if we DeLorean ahead and Texas A&M somehow beats Alabama. I don't think that's happening, not with the dynamic of what's going on with the Aggies this year. 10-2, they lose to Bama and somebody else. I don't think Aggie fan is going to be real happy about that. I mean, it's getting better. I know that. It's supposed to show in a more tangible way, like the wins and losses and division championship and beyond, I believe.
You know, what's crazy is that, you know, Jimbo had such a good run last year. And think about the timing, right? If name, image, and likeness was around right now, like if it was passed, if it had passed last year, I think we're in a different situation, because I think Kellen Mond might have had an opportunity that name, image, and likeness, might have made some money off of himself out at College Station, would have stayed a year. And if that had been the case, I might have had A&M as a favorite to win the SEC West. But
okay,
because of rebuilding a quarterback, it's different. You know, I mean, they do have some offensive line issues that I think Jimbo has done a really good job of filling some of these holes. But that's why this name, image, likeness thing is going to be such an intriguing play about, hey, will some guys that are kind of tweeners, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round guys, decide to stay one more year? We can actually put a couple of dollars in their pocket. A&M would have absolutely been able to totally take advantage of that this year. Now they can't.
All right, I'm going to ask you, and this is just an off-the-record sort of opinion. This is not a binding legal agreement.
Nobody's listening to us, right? Yeah, nobody's listening to us, right?
This is just conversation with two guys. Media Day is going to happen this summer?
I don't know how it wouldn't. I mean, I'm watching Ole Miss baseball and Mississippi State baseball pack 15,000 into stadiums. I mean, I think we're definitely trending. It's probably going to look a little bit different than the traditional media days, but I would be absolutely shocked. Just you know, just guy to guy talking here with nobody listening on the on the telephone, that we would not have it. I think we'll be full go.
And that's my anticipation as well. I've already been, you know, booking lunches and dinners at the Ruby Tuesdays at the Galleria. So, you know,
when in Hoover, you do what you do, Peter.
Last question for you. Brian Harsin, and I have to say this, and Mike Bobo with Bo Nix. What does that equal in December?
You know, honestly, I think it's going to be interesting, because the amount of tight ends that they have, and Chuck, I think we've seen it in the NFL, tight end is a position that no one can cover. I mean, think of what Kyle Pitts was able to do. I think this allows him to kind of play inside the system a little bit more. I mean, it's not going to be fancy wide open. Some Auburn fans are not going to like it. It's not going to look gimmicky. I think it's just going to be more of a solid foundation for Bo, and won't put as much pressure on him, the style that they're running. So it's going to be Sean Shivers and all Tank Bigsby there. But I think it's going to be complementary, and I think that Bo will actually flourish more. And I think Derek Mason is the one everybody's sleeping on. I think Derek Mason finally has a lot of defensive talent that he didn't have up in Vanderbilt, that I think Auburn's defense is going to be pretty damn good.
Follow him on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. That's because he works for ESPN, the SEC Network, and all of that. Peter, thank you, man.
Thanks, Chuck. See you, bud.
All right, Peter Burns again, SEC Network, and we're all saying that kind of together. You know, Brian Harsin, Mike Bobo. I was talking with Hudson Mason yesterday, actually, who's in the media. What's he doing this weekend? He is doing a playoff game. It's 1AA playoffs, right? This weekend he is doing James Madison and BMI.
Correct.
And so, of course, he played for Mike Bobo. And so I talked to him yesterday and asked him about how that's going to work out. Like I said, what's the one thing you can guarantee me in December Bo Nix is better at? And he said decision-making. That's one thing that Mike Bobo will just hammer and drill down, even if we have to reduce your possible decisions with rollouts and things like that where you purposely limit. He's like, he will get better at making decisions, even if you have to scale back on the number of them. You know, there are quarterbacks, I'm sure you can throw five possibilities out there. And it's not even an intellect thing. It's a familiarity, experience. It's, you know, that stuff that you can't really force feed. But he says it will be decision-making. He says, in that one respect, I can guarantee you, you're going to see a different Bo Nix.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Mississippi State done had him a spring game, and the head coach says he's not happy. Now, he would know on a far, you know, deeper dive than I would what to be happy about or not. I know there was an injury, and that's never good. And that's kind of the one thing, you know, what do you want more than anything? I don't want any injuries. There's a chance that the team's either leading or best, or who will be the most productive. I'll let you pick the adjective. Receiver is out with serious injury, and I don't have an update, and I'll admit that I did not check after the ball game, but want to welcome on now for that and all aspects of what's going on with the football program in Starkville following their spring practice from 24/7. It's a good friend, David Murray. David, how are you, brother?
Well, I'm good, and I can report that Jaden Wally will be okay. It looks like an MCL strain.
Okay.
So, yeah, he should be fine by summer. There's a pretty entertaining social media photo of him walking out of the training room shirtless with a cowboy hat and the Wayfarers on or something similar to that, which tells you all you need about how hurt he was feeling that evening. Oh. So I think he's going to be okay.
Okay, but I'm not – because I saw him – it was the first quarter beginning of the game, and it looked serious in the moment, didn't it?
Well, he got rolled on his ankle more so, and it went on to the knee there. So, yeah, it was a frightening moment. But then, you know, when you've done this some enough years like we have, when you see a guy taking off the field, you can usually judge by how he's taking off the field. Is it serious or not? And when there are, you know, two guys supporting him, walking, but you think, no, it's not really that bad. Probably no tear, no real serious damage. Yeah, he'll be okay.
I've referred before. There was I think it was a playoff game. I saw Paul Pierce in the NBA, like, leaving a wheelchair. And, like, 5 minutes later, he came running out of the trainer's room. I was like, all right, I'm ready to check back in. So you never know in the moment based on how it looks like. What it looks like. Let's talk about some of the guys who did play more than just the first quarter. And a little bit of a surprise. I know there's advantage in having played for whatever the head coach and the OC and the play caller are. I know there's an advantage for having played for him before. Will Rogers doesn't seem to have much of a lead or any lead on Jack Abraham, transfer from Southern Miss. That surprised me a little bit. Give me your download of the quarterback competition.
Yeah, I think Will Rogers comes out of spring still number one, but it is not a solid number one. And, in fact, it was not going to be regardless because there's a kid named Sawyer Robertson who's going to be showing up in June. Shame that he was not able to be here in spring because he might have made a legitimate run at the job just, you know, in this semester alone. Great arm, got a lot of experience in a similar type offense that Leach installed when he was at Texas Tech. So I think he comes in with a great chance of taking the job this fall, and that's a lot to say for true freshman. But even Leach came out in postgame and said that, yeah, it's very possible he can be in there. Rogers, he seemed to have, especially the second half of the scrimmage, had better recognition. He has a great touch on balls, but he doesn't have the arm strength to really rip one down there to, say, beat a zone defense kind of thing. That seems to be the point that I'm just not sure is going to get much better because your arm is what it is at this point. However, his recognition gives an edge. Jack Abraham had a good game, I thought, and let's be fair, too. I saw some of his games when he was at Southern Mississippi. He had a terrible offensive line there, so that may explain some of the 30-something interceptions he threw. By the same token, picks are picks. So you want to go into fall thinking this is a solid option in a backup if you need him. You really want Rodgers and Robertson to be your guys coming out of preseason.
How much is it truth and it doesn't matter? Mississippi State had some big, tall, good-looking receivers, especially after the transfer from Bama. But there is an idea that that's not really necessarily what Mike Leach wants. Where is the receiver core, and I mean like the 7 or 8 that he'll want on a Saturday, where is the receiver core now versus like maybe where he wants to get it?
Well, I'll say this. It is far better than it was last fall, probably much better than it was even in December of this past season. The receiver group, Malik Heath really looked good in the spring game. I know he had his incident there in the bowl game, and we don't know what the punishment will end up being during the season. But he looked better. Of course, Jaden Wally got a little hurt, but he'll be okay. Tulu Griffin, he's learning to be a receiver, not just a guy who runs fast. Austin Williams, sure thing at those positions. And now you're getting Javonte Payton back for a bonus year. I think this receiver core is drastically upgraded, not just by the fact that you've added some guys, and of course you're bringing in the transfer of Mekhi Polk, you know, a guy with a great college resume as well, but then you're adding a pure burner this summer in Teddy Knox. I think the receiver core is vastly improved this year, and that in and of itself will help out the quarterbacks and the area that is of most concern to me, offensive line. What you saw in the spring game was too typical of what happens when you divide up teams, and Leach referred to it. Do you have enough depth to make it competitive? State has 4, maybe 6 good offensive linemen. That's not enough to play two offensive lines. That, I think, had as much to do with the quarterback struggles as anything. But if you get the offensive line settled, this offense has a chance to make some serious strides in the second year, and they're going to have a really good starting defense to help them out.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about the defense in a second. I don't pretend I'm not a quarterback coach or an OC, and I would be useless in that role. But, you know, all those receivers, you know, Whaley and Austin Williams and Malik Heath, and I'm like, all right, 6 foot, 6'1", 6'3". Is there too much made about that, you know, oh, the tall receivers? Because that's not really the history of that offense, not in every spot in that offense for sure.
Yeah, tall receivers have their place, certainly, in particular outside positions, things like that. But Leach does not concern himself at that. If a guy can get open, he's going to get open. And the way the air raid works, you want that one step. You don't need the big guy except in red zone situations. And that's where Jacarius Spivey, he caught a couple of high point passes in the end zone. Well, one he should have been called a catch. That really point to what you use the height and muscle for in the situations. What he wants are the guys that can get off the line quickly, get a step on somebody, and have a quarterback capable of knowing he's going to be here, he's going to be open, the support is over there, I've got time to get the ball to him. That's what Leach looks for. If they're tall, if they're short, if they're whatever, he doesn't care. He wants guys who get open. And that's for a guy like Austin Williams, you know, great hands, but he doesn't have a great first step. What he has is instincts and a certainty of how he can use his body in space. That's what they're looking for more at the receiver position than, say, your classic, you know, long, high-point type guys out on the perimeter.
Yeah, and actually a buddy of mine that I was talking about this with at Wazoo, and for a lot of Texas Tech, he was like, it's just easier to recruit 5'9", 5'10", 5'11", than 6'3", 6'4". And so Leach is like, yeah, I'm just going to get these guys because they're easier. And, you know, the 5-star that Oklahoma, Texas, and LSU are after, he's like, I don't want to have to get into that realm for someone that can be as productive. Wrapping up with David Murray again, 24/7. Flip it around to that defense you talk about. And I'll admit that it was maybe halfway through spring practice the last time I really checked in on what Arnett was thinking about his crew, and I remember him not being happy either. I'm not making that up, am I? That was, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago?
You're not making that up. That was after the second scrimmage, and I'll confess, I was the one who asked him about it, and I misheard his answer, said, oh, you're happy. He said, oh, no, I'm not happy on that, and he wasn't. And by all accounts, that carried over into the next couple of practices as well. But I'll tell you this. You saw in the spring game what they do when they can combine Jaden Crumity and Nathan Pickering. Instead of alternating them at nose tackle, they had situations where one played a quasi-end tackle, the other played a true nose. Then you mix a speed guy in the end like a Tyrus Sweet or a Randy Charlton, the transfer from Central Florida. All of a sudden, your defensive line has versatility, depth. You can go, and Arnett has said he can go with a four front. He can go stick with his three front. You've got Aaron Brulé backing it up, who is, I think this is his last year in college. I think he's going to have a fabulous year, and he'll be draft eligible coming out of it. I think the linebacker, my takeaway right now, with the addition of Jalen Green from Texas, who shores up to me the safety position, this starting defense is going to be as good as State needs. Now, depth is a question, and you're probably one injury away from being in trouble to certain couple positions, but I think the starting 11 they put out there will be more than sufficient to take care, certainly of the first month of the season with the matchups they have coming. Then you hope to develop some depth. And, you know, keep this in mind, Chuck, too. State's only got a scholarship to deal with, but the transfer portal's out there beckoning. So in the next couple of weeks, with the semester winding down, we'll start seeing who figures out after this first spring together, do I need to move on? Do I fit this offense? Do I fit this defense? And then you start looking at who's available to fill in just one or two spots for the 2021 roster. And by the way, sometimes it's just coach speak, but in Leach's case, it's entirely true. When they report for August, every job again is open.
Last thing for you, David, and if I gave – this is speculative, but it makes a point. Do you believe – because I do – if I gave a $1,000 bounty and unlimited guesses to any college football fan outside the State fan base, do you think anybody could tell me who led the SEC in interceptions last year? And even even most of the Mississippi State fan base.
Well, fortunately, SEC coaches know because they voted Emmanuel Forbes first team all SEC as a freshman there. So, yeah, the guy is good.
Anonymous. I mean, nobody knows him. Eli Ricks, true freshman, same player. Everybody wants to talk about him, and he's a fine player. Forbes produced.
Well, he had three pick sixes on top of that. So he not only tied a season record, he tied a Mississippi State career record in his first year for pick sixes. So, yeah, that's what I mean. And then you balance that on the other side of the field of Martin Emerson. I really feel good about the cornerback positions, and it goes back to what I was saying. I like the first 11 they have on defense now if Fred Peters is totally healthy at the safety position. Depth is a little iffy, but I think Arnett is going to have a group he can really work with, and he's not stuck with one type of system because now they've had a spring to go through. I know, Chuck, that we talk about how many new first-year coaches there were in the league last year, and some adapted better. You and I both know no program had to make the transition, especially in offense, that Mississippi State did without having advantage of spring ball. We've now seen a spring. We have a better idea of what they're doing, and most of all, the players have a better idea of what they're doing and where they fit in both sides of the ball now.
Yeah, and I think Mississippi State's, they've got a milk carton player on both sides because Jaquavius Marks, there's not nearly enough, you know, run for him and media and fans as well. So,
well, I think he's going to be better because, and if you you can check out a story I did on a couple weeks ago on TalkSpite on the website. He was told flat out, no more dancing, no more catching the ball, looking, trying to juke with a defender and beat him. Catch the ball, turn up field, and go.
Yep.
So if you just make those – and plus, you know, give credit too. If Rodgers or Robertson, whoever wins the job, or Abraham, gets the running backs like Marks and Dylan Johnson, who had a very good spring game, the ball in a better position instead of 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage with the defender already squared up on them, that's when the air raid takes off. Because if you have to respect that and start cheating people over to those – all of a sudden, what you mentioned, those short guys running across the middle, that's much more open. The air raid finally has a chance to take off.
Always appreciate it, David. We'll do it again soon, man. Thank you.
Guys, good to talk to you.
Absolutely. David Murray again, Dogs Bite Mag, 24/7, covers Mississippi State for them, does a great job doing it, and has been for decades. But, yeah, that was one thing about Jaquavius is he was a kid that I think he was like a four-star running back. And he was committed, and then there was a coaching change. He's like, no, I'm down with the school anyway. I like that. I'm going. And he's gotten a chance. And so just a really, really good ball player and pretty dang anonymous. In fact, I'm thinking – actually, is he from two classes ago, actually? And anonymous. Absolutely anonymous. Mostly, again, certainly outside the Mississippi State fan base. Unless it's been a particular Saturday, but catch the ball and just get north and south, man. Get what you can get. It's almost like a punt return or a kickoff return. You have right return, and it's all the way outside the left hash. Get upfield, get what you can get. That's what, well, unless you're in Athens. Because if you run north and south, you run out of bounds in Athens. They're one of there's like I think in college football there's about 20 something fields that are actually oriented east and west. Everywhere else, though, I need you to get north and south, including Starkville. So appreciate David. We're going to break. Wrap up next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's going to be impossible if police is tampering. And so there's just not going to be a way. You know, we've had guys that have left here that have been tampered with, but I can't prove it. And I think that's going to happen more and more against around college football.
I do have to tell you who that is. That's Neil Brown. He's head coach at West Virginia, and I think he's a really good coach, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But he is speaking the truth, and it's not new. This is a conversation that goes all the way back to that whole, was it Randy Edsall and sort of James Franklin and Danny O'Brien, and if you go back about 10, 12 years, there's a quarterback that wanted to transfer away from Maryland, and he was going to get blocked. And the allegation was that James Franklin, who had been the OC there, was trying to pluck his old quarterback. And here's the thing. I'm the biggest James Franklin fan you're going to find. I can't tell you whether he did it or not. And I don't care if he did it or not. That's between him, the kid, the program, whatever. That's not my business. But tampering? Tampering is... this guy in pro sports, he's under contract with another team. Hey, if you are a free agent this offseason, we really want to sign you. Oh, really? Well, I won't exercise my option year then. Can't do that. You get fined. Like, it's one of the more serious things you can do. If it is just a very casual mention and you just barely color outside the lines, it will go from like a $25,000 fine. I'm talking about like Major League Baseball, for instance, they'll take away a first-round draft pick. College sports, it's a former coach, or in some cases, a coach you've never played for, but he recruited you. Or it was a guy on the staff at a school like West Virginia who maybe didn't coach your position, but now he's at another school, and y'all know each other, obviously. He's coach on staff. You're on the team. Does that happen? Absolutely. Is it happening right now with West Virginia's roster? I would say yes, even if I didn't hear that clip, because that's just kind of what happens. I'm not excusing it or trying to minimize. I'm saying that it's like Neil Brown came out and said, it just keeps raining. I mean, like, I don't know, every 4 or 5 days I walk outside and I can't prove it, but it's raining. You're right. The numbers do not work well for West Virginia right now in the transfer portal. They have a one-time starting quarterback. They've had their two best defensive players, I believe, both transferred to SEC schools, I believe. They've lost about a dozen kids. They've gotten two into the program, an offensive lineman from Virginia Tech and a linebacker from Penn State. I think the number's at two, because I checked this whenever it was it Tyke Smith? Was that a week ago or 10 days? Whenever Tyke Smith left West Virginia and went to Georgia, I'm like, I keep seeing kids leave West Virginia. You know, any kids going in? Portal door, do swing both ways. It's just not as crowded getting into Morgantown right now. So He's frustrated. He's speaking the truth. I agree with him. But there's not a whole lot that'll be done because it's exactly what he said. Does it happen? I vote yes. Can you prove it? No. And no real interest in proving it. So that's what that is with Neil Brown. I'm going to count that as my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Shinar and Associates. Wherever you are in the Deep South, be Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Alabama, wherever, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander Shinara and Associates.
No, it's kind of like now, you know, whenever you talk about a defense, because Peter Burns's conversation with you got me thinking a little bit, where he had talked about talking with a defensive coordinator. And those of you who didn't hear it or don't remember what I'm talking about, go back on SouthernSportsToday.com, Southern Sports Today app, listen to the podcast after it is posted. And he talked about how I need 5 stops. That's what I need per game. If I get 5 stops, I feel good about my opportunity to win. Chuck, remember how I talked about not too long ago on the offensive side of the ball that there is no real surprise now why college wide receivers are having immediate success in the NFL, because there's not much of a jump other than the athlete and the caliber that you are facing on the next level, because the mental adjustment in terms of learning the playbook is pretty much already done for you. For the most part in college, you got that route tree down. You've got that understanding down. It's just terms and different ways to describe it once you get to the next level. For the way that things change defensively now in high school, is I think if I'm a defensive coach now on the high school level, screw rolling the little donut out there and having kids tackle it. If you have kids who don't necessarily know the proper form or know how to tackle, then I think you've got larger issues than rolling a donut out there or having them run towards a dummy that somebody has their hand on and you run right through it. Because I got a little news for you. If the person is standing stationary and you're going to hit them, then they're probably not really worth you hitting in the first place. So I think that if I'm a defensive coach, I am more than anything in practices, I am teaching my guys turnover drills like nobody's business. The ball. Always about the ball. I mean, you've got so many times where it's, hey, I need to be able to make, you know, the huge hit stick hit on the JV wide receiver as we go through scout team drills and everything that as we're trying to get ready for the team that weekend. I think if I'm a defensive coach and I see that, I say, hey, that's great. You probably just got yourself 15 yards right there. How about get there, make the stop, but more importantly, the first thing you do is try to rip the football away from him, because more often than not, your huge hit is going to be nice, and you're going to get a few oohs and ahs and everything that come with that. But you know what's really going to help our football team? Get us back the football. Or also, too, for my guys up front, I'm teaching them the quarterback, the quarterback, the quarterback, the quarterback. Let's make sure he cannot throw the football tonight. And if he can't do that, then we're going to win the football game. Teach those two things on the high school level. It'll translate to the college level and then soon enough to the pros, where that is the way defense is played now.
There's a play that I think maybe the most famous execution of it was the Denver-Green Bay Super Bowl. Do you remember when Green Bay, they're like, let them score. Just let them score. We got to let them score if we're going to be able to win. And it is the hardest thing in the world for a coach to say, all right, guys, we called a timeout, just let them score. It's the same sort of thing with changing from good fundamental technique, footwork, hand placement, leverage, head across, wrap up and dump, to guys, make the tackle if you can, but rip that ball out. It goes to the core of what you think football is. About technique and reps, and maybe it's about just getting your fist or the top of your helmet or whatever right on the football. Wraps it up on a Tuesday. Be back tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon background screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.